We're talking with retired Army Colonel Garland Williams, who is now associated with the University of Phoenix in programs that are really designed to make the transition for our military members coming back into civilian life much easier. The estimates are somewhere between 800,000 and a little over a million of these military folk coming back in to civilian life, and they're greeted by us, and they're also looking for work. Garland, we did touch briefly on the experience and skills that they already have, how to translate that experience and those skills into valuable civilian workforce tools.
Yeah, first of all, the transitioning military member must understand that it's he who has to change, you know, because we're going into the civilian world. So to bring our military acronyms and our military speak and mannerisms into corporate America may not be the best thing to do. And there's not a real call for an infantryman in any of our box stores. But the things that those infantrymen did while they were in service, you know, how many people they supervised or how much money or how much stuff they had, does translate well. And I call it the three M's, men, money, and material. You know, how many men and women did you supervise as a leader? Because you have probably supervised somebody at a much lower and younger age than your civilian counterparts. How much money did you control? You know, did you have a budget that you had to come up under, or did you have, you know, a fuel budget, for example, mm-hmm. you had to make sure that your vehicles didn't expend? And then finally, materiel. Even the lowest squad leader in the Army is signed for a multi-million dollar piece of equipment, and that's putting a level of responsibility on him or her that their civilian counterparts did. If you can translate those things to the three M's, our civilian counterparts have a form of reference, and they know where they can plug you into their organization, and I think you'll be a lot more successful.
And by the way, nobody knows you're out there unless you tell them you're out there.
Yeah, that's a big thing. You know, in the military, we always talk about teams, and we talk about we did this, we did that, we did this. But when you're interviewing for a job, that's when you have to be a little bit selfish and a little, I won't say bragging, but you have to tell them how you, in particular you, your specific actions made a difference to how the team performed. And so when you say, yeah, our team took, you know, 3 days to get into Baghdad and secure this. But in the middle of that, I led my squad of 8 men to where they secured mm-hmm. the right position, they kept themselves safe, and we did it all in the limited time that we had. Again, we might have a civilian hiring manager that has never taken a position in Baghdad, but they understand getting something done on time, getting something done with the people that you have, and making sure you come under budget.
And by the way, the University of Phoenix folks created what's called the Phoenix Career Guidance System. And what does that do?
Yeah, the idea is this acts as a career GPS, if you will, for our prospective and current students. You know, it's designed to help students, you know, choose that degree program based on their interests, skills, and also aligns with the information based on local job market. You know, coming out of the military, you may want to do something very similar that you did in the military. But we have a career interest tool that you can take. It's about a series of 18 questions, and it helps you decide, yeah, based on these questions, I was an accountant in the military. Accountant sounds great. Or it may say, you know, I don't want to do anything close to what I did in the military. They do the interest tool. And then they also can take a look at, based on the jobs that come out of that interest tool, where they're being hired in America. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, you know, in the military, you were told to move. I moved 17 times in 28 years. Maybe my wow. final thing is, you know, I want to be in Phoenix. I want to stay in Phoenix. You can go on this tool and find out what the top 5 jobs are being hired in Phoenix over the next 5 years.
You can learn more by visiting phoenix.edu/careerGPS. I think that's such a great, great idea. And there are other free resources available to transitioning service members. Talk to me about that, would you?
Sure. You know, as service members are transitioning, they're obligated to go through the Transition Assistance Program. It's called TAP. And it's actually run by the Department of Labor, but it's handled by contractors on military installations worldwide. And what TAP is, it's about a series of about a week or possibly 2 weeks, depending on what options you want to take, to teach you how to write a resume, whether it be a civilian resume or maybe a federal jobs resume, because they're two very different types. You know, how to dress for success. You know, when I attended TAP, we had to wear our interview suit, and we had a guy that went up there in the front of the classroom. For me, he took off my tie. He didn't like it, put a different one on it. So I didn't have it right. You know, and in the military, we're used to wearing uniforms and not suits, and so that's kind of a way to make a first impression. It also gives you the educational opportunities of what you're eligible for, you know, how far your GI Bill benefits go, wherever you plan to use them. And finally, it also helps you to work through with the VA. You know, all of us in the military at some point may have had some kind of injury, and so we need to go to the VA and get those adjudicated and also looked at to make sure we're not going to have any long-term effects. So TAP tells you how to do all of that piece. That's one piece that we can do.
I never heard of the other program that you have there at the University of Phoenix called Hiring Our Heroes. Now, that's I like the name. How does this work?
Actually, Hiring Our Heroes is a U.S. Chamber of Commerce program, and we're their main educational sponsor. Hiring Our Heroes sponsors between 200 and 400 events across the country a year, and their sole purpose is to hire veterans. If a corporation or an organization or a company participates in that, they have to have jobs available now in that area for the veterans to be able to take a look at. And so for the University of Phoenix, what we do is we not only partner with them for our own positions, you know, either University of Phoenix or our parent headquarters, Apollo Group, but we also make it available to talk about their educational possibilities. Now, one of the things that Hiring Our Heroes has kind of put on us, we're not there to recruit students for school. You know, if somebody wants to talk to us about school, we'll take their name and we'll call them back at the another day. Mm-hmm. But that day, during that event, it's all about jobs. And Hiring Our Heroes has done an amazing job over the couple of years that they've been in existence.
And let me just remind our civilian listeners here who may tend to tune out when we say we're talking to our military. But we're talking to your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife, your family member. And they may not be able to hear this, but you can. And you are, and you can help them by simply checking in, finding out more information. And if people want more information, Garland, how can they don't have to be military to call you, but this can be a family member who cares about a military service member.
Certainly. I mean, the easiest way is to go on our website at phoenix.edu/military. You can send us an email with a specific question or give a call to the phone number that's listed there. If you want Hire Our Heroes information, same thing. The easiest way is to go to the website, and it's hiringourheroes.org, and it can tell you where different job fairs are.
It's just a great program, and when we come back, I'm going to ask Garland to tell you the most common mistakes you make here that keep you from getting hired, that keep you from making a smooth transition. We're talking to you and to all of our military members around the world, those who are going to be transitioning, those who've already transitioned from active duty now back to civilian life, and who are saying, you know what, I need to be doing something. I really need to be out there, and I really need to continue on with my life in the best possible way. No one knows that any better than Garland Williams, retired Army colonel, who is at the University of Phoenix in their program that is designed, folks, to help you if you are in the military or if you have a military member that's returning home. Was the number 800 to over a million people, Garland, coming back?
Right, over the next 5 years between active duty, National Guard, and reserves. And they've got a great wealth of experience we need to take advantage of.
What are the most common mistakes that our friends that are in this period, what are the big mistakes that they're making?
Well, the first one is not taking stock of your educational level. You know, when I came out, again, I thought I was set, but most of the jobs wanted a program management certificate, and I didn't have one. But if I had looked at this 2 years out, that would have given me 2 years still on active duty to go ahead and shore up that gap. So they need to take a look at their educational gaps and see how they can fill them in. Another one is find a mentor. You know, a lot of people have made this transition, and what I did is I found a friend of mine that retired a year before me, went out to lunch with him. He kind of walked me through what he did and some pitfalls to look out for. In the military, we always do rehearsals. Every military operation, we do a rehearsal before we go live. Interviewing is the same way. So if you can find a veteran or a friend of the company that will do an informational interview, you know, kind of, you know, no harm, no foul kind of thing if you mess it up, that way when you go prime time and you're actually interviewing for open jobs, you will do much, much better and be able to respond. And also, we don't promote ourselves, so we need to create a profile on LinkedIn and some other places, and that will help us to also get into the civilian speak piece that we often bring from our service career.
I remember going in services. I know you do, and you transition your language. You go into all the different ways that we speak in the military, and we understand each other. But once you step out of that zone and you get back into civilian life, the civilians don't necessarily understand what you're talking about, and that's one sure way that you get booted out the door if you don't speak the language.
Absolutely. I mean, you got to be careful with your words. You got to be careful with your acronyms. I mean, I think you and I could probably have an offhand conversation using PCS, ETS, and all the other military acronyms. We know perfectly well. But when I came here to the University of Phoenix, I was leading the military division. My boss had no military experience whatsoever. And so when I'm talking about the European theater, she thinks I'm talking about a movie house. So I've got to make sure that the words I use are well understood. And you have to do that in your interviews as well. And also, you know, we have a tendency to be kind of formal in the military when we do an interview. We sit at a position of attention, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. But we kind of sort of drop that a little bit because it turns civilian employers off.
Yeah, you know,
I'm from the South. I was growing up in Atlanta. So the yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am is just sort of a second hand in my language. But that's not normal for the rest of the country.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think that might be sarcastic, and it's not.
No, and it's not being, you're not supposed to be disrespectful, but you are supposed to be in the flow of conversation, like the guy next to you that's also vying for the job. And if he's a civilian and he's used to the lingo, to the language out here, you've got to be too. That's what you're saying, I think, eh?
Well, one of the benefits I learned from interviewing, because I asked my boss, you know, about a year after I was hired, you know, why'd you pick me? And she said, well, basically you showed a personality.
Hmm.
You know, and there's a lot of people out there like me. You know, there's a lot of people with my same skills. But if you can show your personality, how you can be a team player, how you can work within that corporate culture, but also bring your unique talents, that's going to be golden. That's what's going to help you get the job.
Garland, that is so important, what you just said. You know, in the military, we're kind of taught not to be an individual. To be part of the team, which is great, but when you're coming into civilian life, you got to bring something to the table. You got to show that you've got something to give. Your skills are important, but you've got to be able to show folks that you can communicate, that you can integrate, that you are fun to be around, that you care about the person next to you, and that you're not an automaton, but that you're a human being.
Well, absolutely, and the thing about military experience. You know, when you start sharing it with a civilian counterpart, they can't believe that you've been to all these places and done these kind of weird, strange things. And they always ask you to write this book about it, and where you think it's normal because all your peers in the military did that. So you have a lot to bring to it. You just got to be able to bring it across in a manner that the corporate culture is going to recognize and appreciate.
Garland Williams, retired Army Colonel, University of Phoenix. If people want to reach you, how do they do so?
Again, go to the website at phoenix.edu/military. You can find the number to reach me or to reach our representatives to talk about school or talk about transition or talk about anything about the military, because our enrollment representatives are here to help you, whether enroll in school or just to help make you that transition.
Get busy, military folk. Get busy. Garland, thanks so much for joining us. Come back and see us again soon, would you please?
Paul, it's been a pleasure.
It is my pleasure.